because there are three of us. Myself, Trulis, Transier, staff, and a couple of people from the community. I had a request to move number 5 and 6 ahead. Is that okay with everybody? We'll go to citizens' comments first. Any citizen comments? Hearing none, I'll move on. Minutes for correction approval. Everybody good with that? All right. Then we will take number 5, EDC 2024-53, Yorkville Renewable Solar NextMap Rezoning Special Use and Variance.
Yes, so the applicant, Dan Kramer, and everyone's here. On behalf of NextAmp and Yorkville Renewables LLC, the contract leases are requesting rezoning special use and a variance permit approval to construct a 5-megawatt freestanding community solar facility. The proposed 23-acre solar farm will be situated on approximately 73.5 acres of existing farmland within the former East Westbury Village PUD. The petitioner is also requesting to rezone the parcel from R2 to A1. And then lastly, the petitioner is also requesting a variance to Section 10.4.13 of the city's Unified Development Ordinance to decrease the minimum rear and interior side yard setbacks from 100 to 8 feet. The location of the solar farm or the solar panels meets the front east yard setback for solar farm use. However, the panels appear to encroach into the required rear and interior side yards to the south, west, and north. Therefore, the petitioner is seeking a variance to maintain 8 feet. However, the petitioner's original petition, which was submitted before the adoption of the UDO, had already undergone a previous plan council meeting at the time and met the standards of the previous zoning ordinance regarding setbacks. That's why the petitioner is still requesting to maintain the 8 feet. Just some comments on the alternative energy systems regulations that staff would like to see from the petitioner. Is just confirming the height of the solar or the structure that cannot exceed 30 feet. Signage that the emergency contact sign in the petitioner's exhibit C600C should be revised to provide the dimensions of the emergency contact sign. For the access road, staff recommends the petitioner have one paved parking pad for off-street parking. And then lastly, abandoned systems. We recommend a security guarantee in an amount of 120% of the approved estimate with a 3% annual inflation rate in a form acceptable to the city engineer as condition of the special use permit. And we also recommend a blanket easement. Staff comments, this is tentatively scheduled before the Planning and Zoning Commission on September 11, 2024 for rezoning special use and variance consideration, and then another hearing at the September 24th City Council. In the packet, it does say for annexation agreement amendment. That is not true. I'll take that out for the next meeting, but they're not seeking an annexation agreement, and that's all.
I do.
It'd be appropriate if I didn't talk a little. For the record, if you're recording, Dan Kramer on behalf of both the Bennetts, the property owners, and Gary and Judy. And then we've got, and it's a little bit confusing for you, so I'm going to test your memories. When we went through what we affectionately called NextAmp 2 on the Bennett property, this young man, Matt Kwiatkowski, was with us the whole time. Going way back in the time machine, we came before this group, gosh, many, many months ago, and this was the original NextAmp proposal with Matt Walsh of NextAmp, who's still with the company but was double scheduled tonight. And Mike Keith, our engineer, has been the same on both and will continue to be all the way through. We're not going to bore you with a lot about NextAmp tonight because you guys have heard that. Real reliable company, They've did a huge office in Chicago now, so they've made that a headquarters. There are veterans that formed it. And I think one of the beauties, and we're doing solar projects in a number of communities now, is that old saying about they eat what they kill. In other words, they're not out just getting a bunch of leases signed up and trying to flip them to somebody else. They get a lease or buy the property, they build it, and they keep it. So the folks you're seeing are going to be the folks you deal with. And I think that's huge in any business, that personal touch. Again, we presented totally the first time with you, and Mike's got, our engineer Michael Keith, a little bit of short version to give you. One of the main issues that we had on the first time was knowing where you were going to go with the front setback for visibility. And in that, now we call it the Nagel parcel that was formerly part of Westbury, there's a frontage road, even though it's in the middle, that's supposed to serve the whole area. And that serves as a setback. And we're 1,200 feet back from 47. So we're well within it, the city requirements. Again, the reason it took so long to get here was getting the 11 different property owners to vacate the original Westbury PUD. Otherwise, these folks would have been back and completed. So their other one was filed a year later, approved, and thank you for that. And staff was very generous with their time. So I'll be quiet and let Mike give the presentation. Or Matt.
Yeah. I've got a little thumb drive.
Yorkville Solar FSP is the presentation.
No, the next one down.
This one.
Yeah, FSP. So it's like.
Share it here. Everybody else see it online? Ken, can you see it? Okay.
All right, I'll get started. I'm Matt Kwiatkowski, and I'm with Nexamp, representing Yorkville Renewables, LLC, which is a subsidiary company to Nexamp. As mentioned, we're proposing a 5-megawatt community solar facility, application for rezoning, a variance, and
Special use.
Sorry, that's the major one. We could skip through this because I know I've been here before and talked about Nexamp, community solar, typical components. We can kind of get to the overview, I think, like right there. So the site's located at the southwest corner of Galena and State Route 47. Next slide, we can zoom in a little more. There's two parcels. There, and we are proposing a facility in the back parcel there.
The yellow one, right?
The yellow one, yes. So that's the approximate area of our solar facility. The parcel size, as mentioned, is 73.5 acres, and the project size will approximately be 23 acres within the fence. It's zoned R2. We're proposed for A1 for the project area. The owners are Dan and Shireen Nagel. And the project capacity, 5 megawatts, as mentioned, and the project life is expected to be 30 to 40 years. Next slide. In terms of due diligence we've done, we've obviously selected the site, and we've executed a lease with the landlord. We've done our ALTA survey and TOPO survey. We've done a utility study with ComEd to make sure that their system can handle our facility and understand the need for upgrades of the system in order to accommodate our facility. We've done consultation with the State Historic Preservation Office and endangered species consultation, done a wetland delineation, consulted with the FAA. We've also implemented an Agriculture Impact Mitigation Act with the Department of Agriculture that requires that we protect the farm ground during construction and during operation and decommissioning. And then we've gotten our driveway location approval. And then I'll hand it over to Mike just to talk specifically about the site plan and some of the components of like the landscape plan and,
sure.
and decommissioning plan.
Yep. So as Dan and Mike mentioned, or Matt mentioned, I'm Mike Keith. I'm the civil engineer for this project. So I first wanted to start off with the setbacks. As Dan mentioned, we're meeting the setback from the right-of-way. Required 1,000 feet, we're actually over 1,000 feet from Route 47 and Galena Road. As was mentioned, we're asking for a waiver down to 8 feet for the setbacks from the side, from the side parcels, from this parcel here and from these parcels. This is considered a side yard because we are on the back end of here, but it's considered a side yard because of the frontage areas. We are still meeting the setback from the right-of-ways in these areas. So the reason we're going with 8 feet is because the original layout, as was mentioned, we did an original layout based on the old ordinance that had it at 8 feet. We submitted it, it was revised. A couple of components in here that are still in flux that we're working with is we've got a stormwater management pond right here and a stormwater management pond right here. The fence is on the outside of the stormwater management ponds. So the panels are inside. So the panels were actually 50 feet from the property lines for the panels, which meets the non-residential setback. But because these are considered residential parcels, we have to 100 feet. So in actuality, our panels are 50 feet setback. However, when we add in the pond, there's a requirement that if the ponds are in the setback, you have to provide a buffer. So that's why we wanted to go with the 8-foot setback. Now, the ponds may be going away. We've kind of got a head start on the final site plan of this. We've been working with the EEI and staff to come up with some comments. The stormwater management code was really kind of hard to navigate for Kendall County because it's based on the limits of disturbance, not on the amount of impervious area going from pre to post. So we're kind of working with Kendall County and EEI, and we kind of got a satisfaction because we determined that this area is not hydraulically disturbed. And what that means is we're not changing the matrix of the soil. It's still gonna be soil, it's still gonna infiltrate in. It's actually gonna be better infiltration because when you go from row crops to the pollinator mix, you got deep root structure that's gonna pull the water in, increase atomic concentration. So based on like TR25 modeling, which is the basis for our stormwater management requirements, we're actually reducing the runoff overall. So these ponds are probably going to go away in the long run. So we're probably going to pull the fences in closer. We don't plan on adding more panels, adding more land. We're going to keep it the way it is, but we're going to pull it in. But we're kind of holding that 8-foot setback to help add in these ponds and also to keep the buffers in there. We are providing some buffers. I'll show you on the next sheet. We are taking access off Galena Road. There is an access point over in here, and that access point actually terminates. It's just a short little access road. That's for our interconnection poles. We have to come up above ground, and we provide 5 to 6 poles, depending on the layout, depending on the utility provider, that comes out, and then we make an interconnection. So this access road is strictly for ComEd to come in, check their poles, check their metering. We feel it's safer for them to pull off than to pull into the shoulder of 47. So that's why that access is there. We actually are going to kind of finagle it a little bit more. We're going to pull it down close to the property because the owner would like to be using some more of this land as a developable land. But that's for the future. But we don't want to kind of cut off the nose to spite the face and just have this empty land down here. So we're going to kind of pull it down. I mentioned the interconnection point here in 47, and then all lines are going to be underground until we come up to the interconnection poles over here. So what that means is we're going to be underground all the way through here. We do the Rod Roy Creek. We are going to do directional boring under Rod Roy Creek. We don't plan to open cut. We don't plan to torque the stream. we're going to do open, we're going to do directional bore across the stream and then meander it back to the pole. So there's going to be very limited disturbance through here to the Rob Roy Creek. That's it for the site plan. If you want to go to the next sheet, we talk about the landscaping plan. So landscaping plan, what we're going to do is inside the fenced-in area, we're going to do the pollinator mix, as I mentioned before. There's actually a picture on the last slide that shows the way the pollinator mixes look when they're all done. We'll get to that in a second. We are going to do a buff. We are doing boulevard trees along, parkway trees along Galena and 47 along our site frontage here. So we are meeting the Yorkville code for that. We are going to provide a buffer along the east side, north side, and south side of our solar array. We're still working out the details of that because the code doesn't specifically state the setback or the buffers for a solar facility, but we are committed to providing the buffers because we are next to residential, and we want to try to buffer it away from Route 47 on the road. Next slide, please. So this slide is just some standard photos from the site. This is standard. Basically, our interconnection will be here, but this is from Route 47 looking back. Next slide, please. This is actually a picture from Raging Waves parking lot. We've done this with a rendering where we've actually, it's hard to see because we've done a rendering where we put the solar panels in the photo, but it's set back so far from Raging Waves and along with our buffer and our screening. What I did not mention on the previous screening is we are going to be putting a chain link fence with slats in there to provide further screening. But you can see, you really can't see where the site would be on this backdrop. Next slide, please. I think this one. Okay, this is the one. So we did put the proposed solar field. So the previous picture did not have it, but you can kind of see, you can see the tops of them from a distance, but I mean, you really need to be looking hard to kind of see that and notice it out there in the distance. And that's because of the slight change in grades, but it is kind of far out there. But you can see, I mean, the cornfield here, this picture was taken during the harvest time in October. So I mean, the corn is still pretty high, but you can still see the tops of it, but we also are committed to putting some buffering up there. Next slide, please. This is just a straightforward picture. This is the existing access road. This is the access road we plan to also use. So as you're looking back here, the solar panels will kind of sit back in this area. It is not shown in this rendering, but it will be kind of back along this edge. It'll just kind of be, so that tree, that those trees there are the tree line here. So I mean, you can kind of see as you're looking back where the major portion is, it will be kind of blocking those trees. Next slide. This is another one. So this is a comparison. So this is kind of from the same angle. It's just a different picture. So this is the first picture. When we go to the next slide, we actually show the panels in the background. So the next slide, please. So you can kind of see what the panels look like as they're in there. We kind of crop them in, and you can kind of see what the buffer is going to look like after it's planted, and you see it. So I mean, you will see it from the road, but it's not, as Dan mentioned, it's set back over 1,000 feet from the road, so we're meeting that setback. And then always with all solar panels, solar developments, we'll do a decommissioning estimate that will spell out that removal of all modules, racking, piles, pretty much everything. We may leave the access road. It depends what the property owner would like to do. Sometimes they like the access road to through their site. If they don't, it's removed. It's part of, and then we will include and also the concrete pads will be removed. The site will be stabilized, decompaction, and reseeded. Depending on what the owner does, if he wants to go back to farming, we'll leave it set for him for farming. Well, that's what's nice about the pollinator mix is it regenerates the soil. So topsoil that's no longer doing well, the pollinator mix will help that out. All the materials will be removed and recycled. What I've seen when we do the decommissioning estimates, the recycling value of everything on site actually pays for itself and then some to remove everything, to pay a contractor to remove it. And then, of course, we will do a bond based on a cost estimate that will be approved by staff and EEI. That will go through them, and that will spell out the, and that will be a bond that's held by the city, so they would have to remove it. Next slide, please. And that's it. And that was that picture I was mentioning about the pollinator mix, how it looks. I don't know if this is the exact mix we'll have here, but you can kind of see we're using native flowers and a lot of tree pollinator flowers to help bees and insects utilize this area. And we'll be happy to answer any questions you guys might have.
I'm fine.
What's the plan for the parcel on the east?
Well, Nate, that I can speak to for the owners, Dan Nagel and his wife, Shireen. They would love to see some residential or commercial development, but again, since that whole PUD was vacated with Westbury, they would have to come in and ask the city for zoning. There's some challenges with the Rob Roy Drainage District would be at the west at the back side of it. So it's got some limited utility. Right now, the immediate plan is to keep farming it. I met Dan 47 years ago when I was first sworn in. His father and uncle owned a large dairy farm next to a little dairy farm that I grew up with in Batavia, so that's where the connection. Dan was an excavator all his life, and now he enjoys getting out in the farm tractor, and he's doing the farming. So that's the near term. Another key player in it is IDOT. He's desperately tried to get them to commit to a full access there, and I think the best he's going to get at the end of the day, Joe, is a right in, right out. Right. So it very well may limit it for commercial applicability because of that, but I think commercial belongs on the front rather than residential with the high traffic count and 47 wide. So those are the wishes, that we can do commercial, get you some business, and get a decent access. And if you can't, if a residential owner or developer, and I know one of the Ryans, and it's a common name in the building industry, is looking at the northern part of the Undesser farm, which just came off of, if they ever want to go south, he'd be amenable to selling to them too. And they would have a better window to the north, so that could be a win-win for everybody. Thank you.
Chris, you got anything?
Real quick. So the setback variance for the size. I know that when you had submitted, it was before the UDO was approved, but the UDO was working through. What is the basis for not accommodating the UDO as it has been approved? It was in the works, and understanding that, yes, there were overlaps on the timing, but what is that basis for not complying with the UDO?
I think the short answer is it was in compliance when we filed, and so I think that's what we go under, frankly. I'll leave that determination. Long ago, I left the city as your attorney, so Kathy Orr will tell you if Dan Kramer's right or not. I think I am.
Or Judge Krantz?
Yes. I really like him.
Okay.
But I don't want to be there for the reasons I told Marlis before the meeting. My wife told me she'd shoot me if I took any new litigation. Again, Chris, I know you're real big on setbacks, but from your history working with Mike Shoppy with his excellent land planning skills and landscaping, I focus more on buffering and landscaping, because if the development to our sides is what looks like happening with city, with data centers and those type of related, and you got the old Nelson landfill, we're not harming any residential sticking with the old setback. But that's just my view. I'm not fighting with you.
And I understand that. I appreciate that position. My concern would be, of course, what happens if it is not a higher intensity and your use is the higher use of an intensity compared to a residential, the way the zoning requirements are as the buffer goes on the higher intensity. So the setback is my concern of 8 foot versus 100 foot. And it's just that timing, because there would have been acknowledgement of those coming through. And obviously, it did take quite a while to come through with the revised plan. You are meeting the 1,000-foot setback on Galena, which, correct me if I'm wrong, was not in the original ordinance, but was a revised setback. So you have accommodated that number, but not the side yard setback.
Absolutely, and we thought we were being very honorable, accommodating it and exceeding it. Again, because that's the window to the city in 47. I think I heard you before this was even filed, and some of the other aldermen expressed opinions at the meeting that they didn't want to have folks driving into the community at 47 at the north end, and the first thing they saw was a barrage of solar panels. So we heard that loud and clear, and yeah, we tried to accommodate. Back here, I always questioned, even with Westbury, when it was originally put forth as a planned unit development, they were going to make that whole area a golf course, which was a wonderful idea, because 50, 60 years ago, a lot of that was the old C.O. Nelson landfill. And that was where every city in York or the county dumped their garbage. Now, there hasn't been any major cleanup effort, and it doesn't show on any of the Illinois EPA hotspots, but the safer thing is not having houses over a landfill. Now, I know they did up the girls' home in 25 in Geneva and are selling million-dollar houses. I wouldn't want to live in one or raise my kids in one. But so, again, I don't think you're looking at this, and I know you're connected as a landman with a residential developer. I don't think you're going to see prime single-family residential where we're asking for the 8-foot. It's a risky area for residential, frankly. Better chance of it in Nagel's Park in front than the back.
Anything else, Chris?
The need for the variance. So to understand the justification for a need to ask for that variance and to be granted that, I need understanding, so that's why I'm asking the questions I'm asking about that, because you're accommodating one, you're not accommodating the other. I appreciate the fact that you heard loud and clear that we want that window to the city preserved, so thank you for that. But it's that kind of thing that I want to make sure that I have an understanding on your positioning. Next one, the...
Well, can I finish up on that? There is no variance. If we're right about we're governed by what was in existence at the time we filed, it would not be an actual variance.
Can you speak to that?
Sure. They filed prior, but they were on hold until the repeal of the PUD. So we asked them to meet the current standards, and they responded that they wanted to keep their setback.
Right.
So that's why it is a variance. It's technically a variance.
No problem. So it's an issue between Dan and Kathy, and she'll let us know. You got anything besides the setbacks?
Yeah, I wanted to, so the drive that comes in off of Galena, so that drive is the service drive for the solar field itself. What is the material for that? Obviously, I don't have plans in front of me since I'm in the car, but what is that material?
It'll be a hard surface, most likely asphalt within the Galena Road right away, and then it will transition to gravel road as it comes back through the site.
And is that in compliance with the city ordinances? Probably a staff question there.
It's consistent with what we've approved for other solar fields. So it's a compacted CA6. And the only thing that we're, because it's not going to be utilized very often, the only thing we are requesting is they provide a concrete parking pad. So if they do have to do maintenance or visit the site, they will be parked on a hard surface.
And we plan to accommodate.
But the question was, is it compliant with the ordinances?
It's consistent.
That was the question.
Sure, it's consistent with what we've done for other special uses for solar fields.
Okay, consistent with other uses is not the question. The question is it consistent with the ordinance?
The ordinance states that any parking of a vehicle should be on a hard surface, and
so yes, it would.
We're
be.
Saying it's staff is.
But the service drive. I thought that the ordinance read that any drive and parking had to be on hard surface. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm just trying to get down to the root of what does the ordinance stipulate.
So EEI has reviewed it, and that's their interpretation, that the surface drive is something that they would support. Their interpretation is that this would meet their standards, would meet the standards of the ordinance.
So yes, do you have anything else besides those two?
I do. So there's also a proposal for a access coming off of 47. So that, I don't have the plan like that. Does that align with the water park way, or is that in north of that?
I think it was south of the water park way. So.
It's south of it.
Oh, it's south. But okay, so it does not align either north or south. Okay. And you're expecting that would be probably a right in, right out, and not a full access?
It's just a driveway for ComEd to come in.
No, it's just a driveway for ComEd to get to their poles. It'd be probably just like the same one they've got a little farther north.
Now, does that cross the Rob Roy?
No.
They're boring under Rob Roy.
Oh, okay, so there's no crossing. It's just there's access for the utility because those lines cross there.
Correct.
Under the water. Okay, I wasn't sure if there was a crossing for them to actually get in. I couldn't hear that part of the presentation. That, I just want to clarify that because the impacts it would potentially have on Rob Roy. Okay, no, that's good. That takes care of my questions on that one.
Okay, anything else?
That's it for the moment.
Okay, Ken, you got anything? You still there, Ken?
He doesn't have anything.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Ken. I'm perfectly fine with the, I mean, my main concerns, and you've heard them, was the setback from Route 47 in Galena. What are your guys' thoughts? I don't really have a problem with the it's set back far enough from everything else. It's a farm field.
I'm assuming the people who own the property that is adjacent to it are objecting to the 8-foot setback.
Same people, isn't it? Well, it's different, but they're not objecting to it.
No.
Well, public notices haven't gone out yet. The public hearing.
Our owners have chatted with them.
Okay. Yeah, so unless they have a problem with it, I don't.
Right, that's what I would base my position on. If they come in screaming and hollering, then you'll have a different tune, but if they don't have any objection to it, I wouldn't either.
You know where I stand on solar, so
we know where you stand. So,
we haven't changed your mind yet, then.
At least he's consistent.
Blight on the environment, that's my opinion. All
right. So this is supposed to go to
public
hearing. September. Okay, we'll move on to EDC 2024-55, Elmaine and Solar Farm Setbacks.
The
You skipped the Kendall County petition?
Yeah, he's
moving up these two. Oh, okay, I thought it was five and six. Okay, so this is a map that was requested by Alderman Funkhauser. I was not at the meeting where he requested it, so just based off of the information I was provided, it's looking like there was a request for additional setbacks for solar farm developments, 0.75 miles from Eldermain Road. So that's that first image right there. So everything in yellow is 0.75 miles from Eldermain. And then also there was a request for a map that's showing 750-foot setback from all municipal or residential parcels. And that's pretty much the entire
city.
So the last map shows the map that was previously presented to EDC in January, which shows the different bufferings that were under consideration at the time and where those solar fields that were proposed for development are located. So the one that we're just talking about now is blue right there. So we landed on a 1,000-foot buffer for major thoroughfare, roadway, and that's where that property is within that 1,000-foot buffer, which is the kind of the yellow. Now just showing up on that map. The yellow area. So I'm open for discussion. I provided the maps, and if there's anything else you need from staff to assist in your discussion, I'd be happy to help.
We hammered this pretty hard, I feel. I mean, I guess if you wanted to widen on Eldermain a little bit, but I know Seaver's probably really happy about the last one, but I feel that we've discussed it to length. I don't personally see any need of changing any of these that we have. Do you?
I thought we already agreed on this.
Yeah, we agreed on it.
Joe, if I could, real quick.
Yeah.
I requested that one. The other main one, that was to provide a protected corridor along that route. It was any property that abutted the 1,000-foot buffer to restrict it from solar, so it basically is a protection for other uses in that corridor. That's why that one came about, you know, having a few different conversations with interested parties. It was something that was a thought for the long-term use of what the corridor is intended to be, and to be an industrial corridor, to be a higher use than just solar. So that's where the 1,000 foot for any property that's abutting or in, you know, touching the 1,000 foot, it was to restrict that just to give a greater setback so that is actually a more viable, heavier use corridor. So that's the primary one that I wanted to discuss. I would, you know, like some consideration on that one. I think that is the primary thought that I had, was to protect that one. And the other one was, and I think there was a little miscommunication on what it is, because I think when I read the packet, there was municipal property or residentially zoned property. It wasn't meant to be municipal and residential. It was intended to be any residentially or any residential use in the city. And I know that would be a little more difficult than just the residential zone pieces, because some of the parcels are zoned but undeveloped. So that would be one. And I, you know, the 750 feet is probably a little aggressive, but it was one of those to look at the protections again, some of the residential pieces, looking at where they're coming. But yeah, seeing it on the map, it does eliminate, you know, 90% of the property within the city. So that's not the intent. So 750 feet may be a little egregious, so that's probably not where that one needs to go. So that might take a little work to reconsider that, but the bigger one is definitely, I'd like some consideration on the Elba Main corridor for protecting that.
I guess, is Center's one shown on this map?
Yes, Center's one would be here.
Okay, that's the one I thought I wanted.
Mm-hmm. And you're looking at the Elba Main map?
Right. Just the
one above.
Right.
This one?
No.
No.
The first one. Keep going.
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
Is zooming in a little bit. I'm not sure. Yeah. So, if you don't mind, I'll go up there.
Yeah.
So, this is Cyrus One now, former Lincoln Prairie.
Okay.
This is Kalaka, which would be coming in to annex for a data center or industrial
right.
land use. You go up, this is Hageman, this piece, this piece, that'll all be industrial zone.
And you gotta get the entire. Really, the only part that we got some south.
And so, the thing with that line is that line does not actually grab the parcels that just touch it. It doesn't grab their entire parcel. It only shows the 1,000 foot either direction. Really, and honestly, it only should be showing east of Elba Main, because that's where our property for the city is. But it would be any parcel that touches 1,000 feet would be excluded from allowing solar fields.
I mean, I get it. We don't currently, have we had anybody ever any interest around there?
Only the Loftus piece, but that's not. That's the new lease right there.
Right.
Yeah, that's the closest. And that's well beyond that.
Right. Heard anything. streets that we beat up already. I mean, you're right, but I mean, I think the council themselves is not going to put one where there might be better suited. I mean, like Mr. Kramer mentioned, he's heard our concerns over and over, and he's done his best to adhere to them. I don't think anybody's going to, well, I mean, somebody might, but I'm sure it will be met with at the time if they try to plop something right on Elba Main Road. I mean, this is something we discussed. We wrote an ordinance. We've beaten it up. I'm okay leaving it the way it is. You guys?
And I know we did. The reason I'm pushing this one is having some conversations when we went down the lobby day, having conversations with the senators and the representatives about the data center opportunities. We have a very unique opportunity here with our substation and the volume that exists. We're a unique area. Protecting that 1,000-foot corridor is what protects that opportunity. I don't want to be short-sighted and sell ourselves short with solar. No offense to the solar guys. I think there is a place for them. But this corridor is not that place. And I just want to make sure that we, if we're going to be proactive, we're going to be protecting that. And this is a conversation that's come up since we did this. So that's all. That's all I have. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Take any comments from the gallery here?
I mean, wouldn't we still be able to control whether or not they could put solar fields
yeah,
there without having a buffer?
Because they'd have to go through variance
and
whatever.
Especially if they'd have to go through a special.
Right. So the city would have multiple layers then to
right.
say, well, no, you can't do that. One, if the idea of putting the foot buffer zone, and then two, they would have to go through two special use, right? Or the variance for the buffer, then the special use for the solar field.
Correct.
All right. So I'm fine with that. They want to go through all those hoops and most likely get told no. They can do that. All right. We're good.
Hey.
You want to say something real quick?
Real quick?
Sure, real quick, Dan.
Don't have a dog in the race. They're not asking me to object to anything, so I'm not. I think, the Elba Main Road is perfectly acceptable. I think you've thought it through, both it and 47 and Galena. Makes a lot of sense. The part that we wanted to sit in on this, I just wasn't sure, is when I saw the other map.
Oh, there's one.
Yeah, are you saying or implying you want to keep a distance of 750 from any residential use?
No, the only map that anybody even is remotely talking about is this one. Well,
okay.
we're not going to pull off of this that I'm aware of. This where pretty much outlaws it everywhere.
Well, and that's a concern, and something just to throw out there. It isn't always guys like this that are running private companies that are asking you for a community or the next step up, a solar garden, which would be up to 80 acres, or a solar farm, 80 plus. Two of the most prominent I can think of, if you guys go up on Kesslinger and Meredith Road to Caneland High School, they have a small community solar that serves their function right in front of the school. They have no buffering other than a chain link fence to keep the kids from jumping into detention pond that serves their septic field right there. No slats, no evergreens, no nothing. Nobody's died. And if you drive up 47, not so terribly far, the old Country Lily Lake School has grown into a major grade school for the Burlington School District. And if you look a little bit down in a hole behind the school, no fence, no anything, they're totally doing solar there now. And you folks here, and thank God you did it, because every one of you that lives in this county has gotten a little smidgen of tax relief. You approved the Kendall County Courthouse one. That's resulted in 80% of the county's solar or electrical needs now being their own, no payment. Now, it's not gonna buy us a lot of groceries, but it did keep their budget down a bit. And that, of course, is about 25 feet from the houses. Solid wood fence made sense. And that was one of my points with Chris, I'm not beating him up, that sometimes distance isn't the only measure. Landscaping, fencing, berming, all those things can be used as tools. But you very well may get governmental people coming to you asking to do it well within 750 feet. I don't know what you're going to do at your new $40 million bond issue for a giant public works facility. Are you going to go traditional electric ComEd, or are you going to put solar panels or a small solar array? So just food for thought, that's all, and I'll shut up and let you guys get done.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
All right, EDC 2024-49, building permit report for June 2024.
All right, we did 27 single-family detached homes, 163 total permits.
Awesome. Building inspection reports for June 2024.
All right, in June we did 925 inspections. Of those inspections, 222 of them were sent out to BNF. The rest were kept in-house.
Cool. Property maintenance reports for June of 2024.
All right, well, we conducted a lot of inspections, property maintenance complaints, but we only saw two in hearings. One was in White Plains. It was for a fencing issue. That was corrected and dismissed. The other one was a 555 Blue Stem, and that one was the weeds and grass. That was found liable and fined $2,000 since it's a repeat offender.
Do you ever collect?
When they sell the home, we will collect. The city is leaning the property every time we cut the grass. And the grass has been cut, but it was by us. And that's it.
Sometimes those lawsuits don't always work out. Sometimes they do.
Yeah. Sometimes someone pays hundreds of thousands of dollars on the last day.
You never know what's going to happen. Number 4, EDC 2024-52, Economic Development Report for July of 2024.
Okay, so we have the report in the packet. I just wanted to add a couple of things. Number one, I gave you each copy of this, is the rendering of what the new hotel is going to look like. So it is first floor, 5,000 square foot banquet facility, and then second through fifth floor will be hotel rooms. It'll be 69 hotel rooms, all suites. And the brand is a national flag, and it's everything is off being signed, so as soon as I get the okay, I will be able to share with you what the name will be. So, and then also I wanted to mention, if you've driven by where Tuffy's used to be, it's now reopened under my auto doctor. It's actually Brandon Cribbs, who was the operator of Tuffy's. He had to kind of go silent because Tuffy's stopped him from doing business for a couple of years. The time is now up, so he is reopening with his own name. So it's not a Tuffy's, but it's the same gentleman, Brandon Cripps. He actually owns that strip center as well. So he opened around August 1st. I wasn't able to put it into the report because he was afraid to divulge anything prior to August 1st because that was the agreement with Tuffy's. So I don't have any other questions, but that's...
Chris, have you tried the bubble tea? I saw that it was open.
It opened July 14th.
I did manage to stop in there the other day.
How is it?
I tried something new. It was actually pretty good. I was surprised. For trying something different outside of my comfort zone, it was good.
Okay. Yeah. It is open.
Now we're on to EDC 2024-54, Kendall County Petition 24-07, 1.5 mile review.
Can I have one too?
Yeah. So the petitioner, Jerry Sturchola, on behalf of A&D Properties LLC, is requesting site plan approval to operate a trucking business and the sale and storage of semi-trailers, small trailers, and semi-tractors and similar uses at 7789 Route 47. In April of 2024, the City of Yorkville received a request from the petitioners requesting an approval of a map amendment for this property from B3 to M1 Limited Manufacturing District for the purpose of operating a trucking business, Freehoff Manufacturing. And then in May of 2024, the City of Yorkville approved the rezoning. And then later in June 2024, the county board approved the rezoning. So the petitioner would like would like site plan approval to operate his trucking business. The site will consist of approximately 13,000 square foot of one main building and two metal and frame buildings totaling around 17,000 square feet. This includes a total project area of about 30,000 square feet, and then the site plan shows there will be 5 customer parking stalls, 24 employee parking stalls, and 58 parking stalls for trailers. And then there will be one access off of Route 47 and then one access off of Conservation Drive. And then the city's engineer consultant, EEI, has reviewed the civil plans, and their only comment was that the petitioner should submit their plans to the Illinois Department of Transportation for an entrance permit and to coordinate with IDOT regarding the future widening improvements that are planned in the area. The comprehensive plan designation for the property is estate / conservation residential and agricultural zone. And then in December of 2023, Franco FS Incorporated, who is the owner, and AB Schwartz LLC contract purchaser submitted a proposal to amend the Kendall County's future land use map from transportation corridor to mixed use business. For an approximately 20-acre parcel consisting of 5 parcels, also known as 8115 Route 47, and then an amendment was made to the Kendall County Future Land Use Map, and then Jerry Stracciola sought out the rezoning approval back in April, which was approved. And then the proposed land use and the M1 zoning in Kendall County is inconsistent with Yorkville's comprehensive plan, and then if it is approved, put the proposed facility to operate a trucking business for the sale and storage of the semi-trailers and his trucking business would necessitate a review and potential amendment to Yorkville's comprehensive plan, and then a more appropriate future land use designation would be general industrial, which is intended for a broad range of warehousing and manufacturing activities of minimal environmental impact. And then this item will be going to Planning and Zoning Commission on September 11th, and then again to City Council on September 24th. And that's all.
I'm also good. Thank you, guys.
Any discussion? Would it matter anyway?
It could. If there was a objection by the City Council, then they would have to have a supermajority.
Chris, you got anything?
I have one question. This one is the one that came before us earlier in the year, right?
Correct.
And at the time, I'm trying to remember if we were told that those trailers would not be there for the long term. Those were just because they were being moved from one site to another. Is that correct?
Dan had left. Dan Kramer, because he represents them as well, the petitioner. Yeah. We can get that information. I know that there was a conversation that there were some trailers that were parked out there. I don't know if they are planning on moving those trailers interior after they finish the interior renovations of the site, but I'll get that information from Dan.
I think he did mention they were going to move them or something.
He did.
Yeah, but didn't the staff report say, I was trying to just listen to the numbers of the parking stalls, there's guest parking, employee parking, and then truck parking?
Yeah, 58 mm-hmm. for trailers. So we'll get confirmation from Dan whether, because I do remember that conversation too, so.
Yeah. I want to make sure, I don't want this to sound wrong, but I want to make sure it wasn't a bait and switch on that, because now, those may be a different kind of trailer. Those ones that are back there kind of rough. If this is just servicing vehicles and there's a few of them coming in and out, or if it's retail sales, I just want to kind of get the understanding of what exactly that is. That's all.
Well, it does say that it's for sale and storage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they are storing trailers and they are for sale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it is going to be more or less what he has in the back, because those were used as storage units and then, they were storing them at another location in Plano, I believe.
I think it was Plainfield.
Or was it playing field? Yeah, we can just get that clarification. Sure. I would appreciate that as this goes forward.
I thought it was at Plano Molding.
You might be right.
That was a different company. So this came off at the same time. He's saying Plano Molding. I think it was the company that Sturchola is located is 52, like a Plainfield Joliet border. That's where they are originating from and moving here. I don't know about.
So is this site then sold between the last one and this one? Is that
no? It was sold prior. It had been sold prior. They had been operating out of there prior to this. Because if you drive by, you'll see trucks out there.
Maybe I got to go back and listen to the audio of that conversation because I'm a little confused by.
I wish Dan had stuck around. But yeah, we'll get that information for you. We'll have it before we take this to PZC.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Ken, got anything? Ken, you good?
He's good.
Any additional business by anybody? I'm good. All right. Means adjourned.